Welcome, friends, to Living the Adventure. I'm your radio host, George Runyon, and I'm so glad you have joined us as we study together God's Word. I hope you can go on this journey with me every Sunday at 6:30 here on GOD Radio 1 as we learn how to develop our relationship with the Holy Spirit through the devotionals that we're sharing. Be sure to invite a friend to listen each Sunday at 6:30. Thank you to all who listen and support these broadcasts in helping defray the financial costs. Your help is very much appreciated. Please drop us a note and let us know you're listening and give us your comments on the program. You can write us at CCM, that's City Church Ministry, CCM, P.O. Box 152-388, San Diego, California, 92195. Doesn't need to be a long letter, just a note would really encourage us just to know what the broadcasts mean and if they're helping you at all, and any thoughts that you have on improving as we go along here. Let's pray and begin today's lesson, developing our relationship with the Holy Spirit. And we're looking at the Lord's Prayer, and we're in the section, Lead Us Not Into Temptation. So that's what we'll be developing today. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you that we can have confidence every time we come to the throne of grace. And that, Lord, you have invited us to come boldly to the throne of grace, that we might obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And, Lord, you know that we're needy people, and so we bear our hearts before you, and we say, Holy Spirit, come and open up the depths of our understanding that we might be a people that clearly understand the Word of God and by your power walk in the Word of God. We thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, we're going to pick up in the Lord's Prayer in Matthew 6:13, Lead Us Not Into Temptation. Or I titled it, Let Not Temptation Overcome Me. Why would Jesus teach us to pray this way when the Scripture clearly teaches God tempts no man, James 1:13? Jesus was modeling for his disciples how to be led by God. Jesus knew that he was being led into temptation for our sakes. Jesus was aware that he would stand between heaven and hell for all of mankind as he contemplated the cross and all the sufferings he was about to endure. He knew that the enemy would come one more time to tempt him. Jesus was teaching his disciples to yield completely to the Father. If the Father chooses for them to go through temptation, he would keep them in that hour. God himself does not tempt any man, but life is full of temptation. I think we've all discovered that, haven't we? It's full of temptation. Our prayer should be for God to lead us around or through those temptation times of temptation. Scripture declare, I will never leave you nor forsake you, that you can boldly say, the Lord is my helper. In him I will trust. Hebrews 13, 5 through 6. Is that your testimony in the Holy Spirit? Do you know he is always with you? There may be times when you do not sense his presence, but will you trust his word of the promise that he's made? The Holy Spirit is the promise of the Father and of the Son. Jesus said, I will pray the Father and he will give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, John 14:16. Today, look to Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. He authored and finished the work for you and for me. He was tempted in every way, yet he did not sin. Temptation surrounds us, beloved, but Jesus has overcome on our behalf. Pray for his overcoming life to fill you and to guide you in all that you do. Are you presently facing temptation? Call on the Father and ask him to lead you through this time. Ask him to use the hour of temptation to strengthen you. Ask him for grace to overcome the evil one. Give the reins of your life to the Holy Spirit and watch him work the mighty works of God in and through you. Now, it goes on in Matthew 16, 13, deliver us from evil, being delivered from the evil one. Evil sounds surrounds us in the world system. Paul teaches in Ephesians 2, 2, that the devil is the prince of the power of the air. He is the prince of this world and this world's systems. Oh, this is so important for us to get a hold of, beloved. The phrase, the prince of this world, speaks about the world's systems and governments. Even forces are behind the world's, evil forces are behind the world's systems. The world news is that this prince, the good news is that this prince has been judged. John 16, 11. The prince of this world killed the prince of life, whom God has raised from the dead. Acts 3, 15. This was the beginning of deliverance and freedom for the inhabitants of the earth. Today, a man reigns from heaven, the man Christ Jesus. We too have power over the evil one because of Jesus. Jesus told his disciples, I give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. What a tremendous promise that is. And I'm sure they drew on that many times, remembering what Jesus said. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. Luke 10, 19. Through faith and obedience, we are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. Our deliverance from the evil began with Jesus' sacrifice and resurrection and ascension to the right hand of the majesty on high. The Father and Jesus poured out their Holy Spirit to bring refreshing from their presence. Jesus instructed the disciples to wait in Jerusalem until they were given power from on high, Acts 1:8. The word power in the original language meant authority. Jesus gave his disciples authority to proclaim to the nations the good news of the kingdom of God. Jesus is now reigning as king, seeking to be philosophers on Mars, speaking to the philosophers on Mars Hill, Paul proclaimed, God is now declaring to men that all people everywhere should repent because he has fixed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness. Acts 17:30. The power or authority which the Lord released on the day of Pentecost is still being released today. We cannot overcome the evil one without the power of God. It is the Holy Spirit who gives believers power and authority against the kingdom of darkness. Prayer was the beginning of the early believers' preparation. The work of God continues today through the prayers of God's people. God's grace of power is released through faithful, obedient sons and daughters. Our deliverance is not automatic, but effectual through the righteous prayer. See James 5:16. James tells us that the righteous prayer of many is what defeats the realm of the enemy. James 5:16. Father, I ask to be delivered from evil. Strengthen me with the spirit of obedience. Thank you for giving me your faith and authority to obey and live your life of righteousness. Thank you for giving me the overcoming life of Christ in the power of the Holy Spirit. Beloved, that's just a little model of prayer for us, that we ought to ask to be delivered from evil. Strengthen us, Lord, with the spirit of obedience. We need to pray for that strength because the enemy so easily comes in to deceive us and distract us. Thank you for giving me your faith and authority to obey and give your life and live your life of righteousness. See, it's all given by the Father. To have faith is a gift from the Father, and authority to obey and to live the life of righteousness comes from heaven above. It doesn't come from just within you. It comes from heaven above that's imparted to you. Thank you for giving me an overcoming life in Christ in the power of the Holy Spirit. See, beloved, we need to really understand that the overcoming life is rooted in Jesus Christ. It's not rooted in us in any way, shape, or form. It's rooted in the Lord Jesus himself. And then he teaches his disciples to pray for kingdom power and glory are his forever. Matthew 6:13 continues, "For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever." What a powerful declaration of truth. Jesus directs everything back to the Father, and that's what we're to do, beloved. Direct things back to the Father. The Holy Spirit was poured out on believers to work the works of the Father in the earth. The first thing that the Holy Spirit established was God's reign in the earth. On the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came on those waiting for him in the upper room. He began to rule in the lives of individuals. From this place of his ruling flowed power. Power to transform and govern in the lives of those who were trusting Jesus. The kingdom of God is not coming with signs to be observed. Nor will they say, "Look here, here it is," or "There it is." For behold, the kingdom of God is in your midst. Luke 17:20-21. Beloved, because of Jesus, the kingdom of God is present today. It's not something we're looking for in the future someday. It is here now. We can draw from that presence of the Lord now. We can move in the power of the kingdom today in our lives, in every circumstance and situation that we might be facing. This is awesome, awesome truth from the Word of God. The Lord revealed how he was working in the earth through the apostles and the early church. The same Holy Spirit power continues today. The productivity of his rule and power is a manifestation of his glory. Ultimately, we will share in the fullness of the glory when Christ returns. But for now, the glory is reserved through, is revealed through committed, Spirit-filled lives. Jesus said, "It is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." Luke 12:32. Paul instructed the church to walk in a manner worthy of God, who calls you into his kingdom and glory, 1 Thessalonians 2:12. This is the work of the Spirit, releasing the kingdom of God to those who believe, using each believer for the glory of God. The kingdom of God is now and is yet to be someday. That's kind of a mystery. It's now, but yet to be someday. When we see Jesus, we'll see it in its fullness. I say now because the Holy Spirit lives in the believer and helps us to do the will of God. It is in the future because there is a day when Christ Jesus will gather to himself all that are his. Together with Christ, we will judge the world and the angels. The scripture declares that we will rule with him in eternity. I don't know what that looks like. Nobody does. That's in the Father's prerogative. He knows what that means. But we will rule with Christ throughout eternity. The writers of the New Testament continually establish a balance between then and now. Our responsibility is to examine our lives and determine if the Lord is indeed ruling. This is a daily process in our thoughts and our actions toward others. Our daily process in our thoughts and actions toward others. Forgive me, I had to read that again because it's so good. Our calling is to be present, is to present to the world a lifestyle that is led by the Lord. Corporately, we are to be a people that demonstrate the goodness of God. We are to bring to bear an influence, first by prayer and then by our actions. The direct influence of God's kingdom in the earth is because the Holy Spirit's presence. Consider the testimony of the apostles and the early believers in Acts 15:3-4. I let you go there and read that, and you see how they responded to the Lord in prayer, and how the Lord honored them. And Father, we just pray for help. Help me to examine my life and honestly determine where Jesus is reigning as Lord. Help me see those areas I have yet to surrender to your rule. I pray for your kingdom rule in every part of my life. For your glory. K. Can you pray that prayer with me today, beloved? Your rule in every part of my life for your glory. That's our prayer to the Father. And as we move on, we're going to go look at Matthew 5:3, and what Jesus says in what's called the Beatitudes. This is so precious and worthy of our attention. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. The poor in spirit are all those who have suffered under this world system. These are the oppressed, neglected, and the underclass, who are the majority of people in the world. Jesus came for such as these. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim and release the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set free those who are downtrodden, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord. Luke 4:18-19. The kingdom of God goes to the deepest areas of an individual's life to heal the broken spirit. The good news is that there is a king who reigns in heaven and cares about the hurting of this world. Christ redeems those who have been made captive in their circumstances through a system controlled by Satan's kingdom. Although they might suffer in this life, they are to rejoice in the promise that the kingdom of God belongs to them. There is a change coming. Even if one's circumstances are oppressed, the Holy Spirit has come to first make the human spirit alive to the one who is born again. He makes available the experience of a deep, abiding joy which the world cannot steal. All of this begins in the spirit and finds its way into the chambers of our soul. Paul's prayer for the church at Thessalonica was, "Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you," or separate you entirely, "and may your spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless before without blame at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. May it be preserved complete and without blame at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Thessalonians 5:23 gives us that insight. Amen. This explains why so many persecuted believers are able to have such joy in the midst of oppression, which comes through the systems of the world. This also explains why believers are able to stay afloat through the many struggles that take place in our lives. Even during financial setbacks, sickness, and relational difficulties, they still remain strong. One who is strong in their spirit, knowing they have been given the kingdom, is able to rise up in this life and demonstrate God's provision. God makes them rich in their spirit and strong in their kingdom lifestyle. Today, allow the Holy Spirit to establish you in this grace, regardless of your circumstance. Claim your portion in Christ and rest in all he has promised for the future. Father, thank you for all you have promised us, beginning with the promise of your blessing to our spirit man. Lord, we receive what you have given to us in the Lord Jesus. And then Jesus goes on in Matthew 5:4, talking about those that mourn will be comforted. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. We may mourn the passing of a loved one, the loss of a child, a war casualty, calamities, or loss of property, such as a house or finances, and calamities or the loss of property such as houses and finances. Consider the oppression people suffer throughout the world. Modern day news coverage allows us to observe people weeping and lamenting their present day circumstances. Because of these firsthand observations, many become moved with compassion to share their resources with those who are suffering. Many times, believers have experienced the prompting of the Holy Spirit to reach out in practical ways to those in need. There is a good reason why Jesus called the Holy Spirit the Comforter. Only the Spirit of God can completely comfort those who are mourning. True comfort can only be brought about by Jesus' promise in Matthew 5:4 here. Have you ever been hindered by your lack of words or ability to comfort another? Have you ever felt helpless during times when a person has experienced the death of a loved one or a calamity of some kind, and when their life is being oppressed by some difficult circumstances? At these times, it can be humanly impossible to comfort another. Humanly impossible to comfort somebody. As a believer, we have received the necessary grace from the Holy Spirit to come alongside an individual and speak a word of comfort through the inspiration of His grace that He gives. There will be a day in which we will know the totality of the Spirit's comfort. The Scriptures speak of the day in which all our tears will be wiped away. He shall wipe away every tear from the eyes, and there shall be no longer any death. There shall be no longer any mourning, crying, or pain. The first things have passed away, Revelation 21:4 says. The only answer for the condition around in a fallen world is found in Christ. The believer has the answers dwelling within them, the person of the Holy Spirit. All His fruit, His gifts, and His power is available to those who have put their faith in Christ. Allow the Holy Spirit freedom and total access to use you for the glory of God. You know, sometimes I just want to interject. Sometimes the Holy Spirit uses us. We don't even have to speak words. Just our life being there. Just the comfort that are standing next to somebody who's really hurting and not knowing what to do. Just that arm around them can minister and impart the grace of the Holy Spirit's peace. The only answer for the conditions found in a fallen world is found in Christ. The believer has the answers dwelling within them in the person of the Holy Spirit. All His fruit and His gifts, I'm repeating this, and His power is available to those who have put their faith in Christ. Allow the Holy Spirit freedom and total access to use you for the glory of God. As the old gospel song declares, the Comforter is come, the Holy Ghost from heaven, the Father's promise given. Today, allow His comfort to be your portion. He will give you peace and assurance in your situation. He will still use you to minister comfort to others. And Jesus finishes off, but He says, Matthew 5:5, blessed are the gentle, for they shall inherit the earth. Wow, we're going to finish there today. Gentleness demands humility. The arrogant do not practice gentleness, meekness. One evidence of a spirit-filled life is the fruit of gentleness, Galatians 5:22. There are many who try to move ahead in life with an arrogant attitude. Usually this person is filled with selfishness, only thinking about their success, no matter how it may affect others. The character flaw is especially seen in the business world, the entertainment industry, and the political arena. A drive for power and control is behind arrogance and selfishness. If it can be observed that most of these people end up losing their life. Many times their dreams are dashed by heartbreak and loss. Oh, this is such a reality. All right, I think we're gonna stop there today and let that sink in. And I was wondering if I should go on because there's so much more to be said in this area. So Father, in Jesus' name, we are trusting You in all of these things that we're talking about. We know that our confidence and our help comes from You. We thank You that You're with us, that You'll never leave us, that you'll never forsake us. Lord, I thank you that you have declared your presence. We thank you, Jesus, that you encouraged the disciples by saying, even though I'm going, I'm not going to leave you comfortless. I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. We thank you for this, what the scriptures teach us, that many lives demonstrate that gentleness is a way to success, that Jesus is teaching a key to life success in Matthew 5:5. Humility, which demonstrates gentleness, will help keep help bring success. Through gentleness, the Holy Spirit touches the hearts of people and opens opportunities. Individuals are moved to reach out and help the gentle person. Opportunities come, doors open, and a way is made for the gentle person to be received as their reputation begins to be spread. Some people are gentle by nature. This is a human quality which is rare and honorable. As Jesus brings into focus his Holy Spirit, he is anticipating those that would be filled with his Holy Spirit, demonstrating the fruit of the Spirit in all their relationships. Jesus said, all these things are ours. So then, let no one boast in men, for all things belong to God. 1 Corinthians 3:21. All things belong to the child of God. But we must see this corporately as an individual. I cannot claim all things at all. Remember Paul's teaching when he said, there are many members, but one body. 1 Corinthians 12:20. As members of the body of Christ, let us stand firm in these promises that God has made to us. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for this time we've had together today. We ask you to bless these words and bring them back to our remembrance as we walk through the week. We thank you for all that you've done for us. In Jesus' precious name, amen. All right. Our time is up for today. I just want to remind you that my new book, One New Man, One Holy Nation, is live on Amazon. You can go to Amazon and order that today. And I encourage you to do that. It'll be a blessing to you, I know. And again, just drop us a note here at P.O. Box 152-388, San Diego, California. Let us know that you're listening and what the broadcast means to you. Now, as I always tell you, walk with the King. God bless you.